forever.
Dog. The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
Hello, goody goody friends. I am shooting this voice memo from Sayulita, Mexico, where I've been hanging with the biological father of my true son, Wolfie. And that's just a little tidbit about me. But I recorded this episode with my friend Ashling, who I met when we were filming the comedy lineup in Atlanta. And she was just an Irish drop a tea down me old heartstrings. I really like her. And she's had such an incredible year. So it was really fun to lay down in bed, hanging with her on her freshly bursted period to talk about what matters. You should go to Hulu and watch This Way Up. It's a show that she created based on her life, along with Sharon Horgan. She stars in it with Sharon Horgan. And then she's also plays Paul Rudd's wife on Living With Yourself on Netflix. You can go ahead and watch both of our episodes on the Comedy Lineup. Look, I am done plugging things. Just listen to this conversation, okay? And have a great new year. Happy holiday season. Good boy.
Do a podcast.
We're trying to do a podcast, Wolfie. We can't have the monkey show play loud. Wolfie is watching five little monkeys jumping in a bed with zero volume. I've got Ashling B in my bed. Ashling has had an explosive period that landed in your thinks, though. You said you were free bleeding, but you're free bleeding into the...
I'm a big fan of thinks pants.
Yeah, I got to try them.
Oh, man. Just like... And what I love about it is people are so amazed they exist because we've realized no one's bothered to invent anything to help in so long. And so when someone comes along and invents something, they're like, surely it doesn't work though. Like there's been no actual technology invested into something that's just for
and
ladies.
And I'm sure all the companies don't want it to exist.
Yeah. And also what they do is like they give some, so thanks for anyone who's listening in. We're talking about periods.
Not even a sponsor, but
welcome.
Thanks if you're listening. I'll take your money, honey.
Honey, please.
Honey.
So they're underwear that absorb blood during your period. And so they're reusable.
And it's like, you're going to be messy down there during your period. Like, cause I think
people are like, oh, does it leak out?
It seems like it's going to be like a
nappy?
Sponge of blood next to your pussy.
No. Even your face now is like.
No, my face is just a tired little baby from Entertainment Tonight.
Oh my God. Did you by any chance have anything to do with Entertainment Tonight
Funny
this morning?
Funny you should ask. Last night I got asked. This morning I taped it. I was the co-host of Entertainment Tonight.
You look it. You look vibrant.
I have lots of more blush on. But I was like, you know what? When you do Entertainment Tonight, you should do a little bit of drag, you know?
You know when, though, people have made it in a certain way, everything just is, it's them, but they're just a bit shinier.
They have
when
more expensive clothes. Mm. They have makeup and hair done
your
all the time.
Your skin looks very shiny. Your brows are amazing.
I think makeup and hair is the bit. Like, don't you love when you get offset? Just that for starters.
Yeah.
And then,
oh my God,
just
guys.
Casually that. And then,
relatable
also,
content
I looked up your
here.
IMDb. You have tons of stuff. You've been working forever. I want to ask you all your acting tips. But when you get offset, then you put on like jogging pants, which is what I'm wearing now.
Me too.
But you just feel like expensive casual.
Yes,
you know, like
your face is
like, because.
We're wearing now, and let's describe it to our audience, is my ideal clothing.
Yes,
I'm wearing like a sports bra, a Barney's Beanery t-shirt, which I won in a pub quiz.
But on top of that, what do you have?
I'm wearing a big old hoodie with Choose Love in it, which is the Help Refugees charity. Don't worry about it. Leggings, my Thinks pants, absorbing the hell out of everything that's going on underneath. You're wearing like a woolly beanie,
I'm
a
wearing
clothy
like this
top.
This top thing
sweatpants.
Is by a guy named Z that Shauna found at the Pasadena City College Flea.
Yeah.
He does not want me to be talking about him. He has no Instagram. He has no tags. He's like making art. And he's got like a studio in Glendale. And if you are so lucky, he'll let you know about it at the Flea. And then you get to go. And then he'll give you like
But he just doesn't
he
want
just
to sell
put this
his
on me
items.
When I walked in.
So he doesn't want to, like, he doesn't
does
want
to. It's they're expensive.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is like, it's just like, it's
not
like
at all
art.
Costs.
It's art. It's like I bought Shauna for her birthday. I bought this like, I bought a jacket that was made of like handkerchiefs that he'd found like over the years.
Gorgeous.
So he was like, I've been making it for 20 years and I like believe it.
Oh my God. It's funny, isn't it? Please, Sabrina, come on now.
Burp harder, burp heavier. or burp closer?
No, please. I want to create an Entertainment Tonight vibe here. You know, you can't just go on Entertainment Tonight and just burp.
Next, Aisling B talks about all of her credits. But it's hard to be away from home. Guess which two things Aisling wishes she had when she had her period and she was in a hotel.
One of them was a heat pack, which can I just do a shout out to your host, Sabrina, for one second? I arrive to this house filled with good vibes. I tell her what my current stats are, my body. And she has a bed all set up.
This is my regular dog bed.
Just like resting very calmly on my crotch.
Yeah.
The cutest baby I've ever seen, watching a load of little monkeys over
cartoons.
There. It's a kombucha in my hand, a fresh kombucha. A heated pack. Like a silken pack for my tum-tum.
I say treat others the way you wish you were treated. And when I'm on my period, I want some hot compress on my belly.
Oh my God, it's just, I'm being really refreshing hit from all sides by dopamine.
I also just want to do everything lying down. I know that it doesn't help with the energy. Like, I'm sure there's got to be someone listening right now being like, pick up the pace. I thought you promised Entertainment Tonight. But it's like, no, my pace is just like laying down and chatting. Hey, baby, what? What do you need?
That is a fair point.
My pace is just my crying baby in the background.
Oh.
Just also, sometimes don't you get your period so hard that you're like, you start understanding why women were held back? You know, like these like things that are cursed on the female.
Well, the only thing is, I started reading this book called, I finished it, Sabrina.
Shit. I mean, that's huge.
Page one to page the end page. Wolfie's read it. And it's called Period Power by a lady called Maisie Hill. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, rather than seeing it as, you know, the curse that comes once a week.
Yes.
And the week before it as the crazy time. She talks about leaning into our cycle and everything that brings us. So
okay,
say, for example,
like
the week before our period, people are like, oh, people are crazy. They're extra sensitive.
Yeah.
Now instead, superpower. It's, you have a heightened sensitivity to stuff. So what we need to learn is like how to monitor if you go like shouting around the place because you feel hypersensitive. But the idea that your senses are hyper aware to situations, to potential problems, to atmospheres, to vibes, that is a superpower.
It is.
I really wanted to write like a detective series about a woman who solves all crimes based on her hunches, but only 1 week a month.
That's so good.
Yeah, just
dude,
the week beforehand.
You're so smart.
One of those Danish people be like, yeah, I know the body's in the river, but I'll tell you why I know that in about 3 weeks. You know? once I'm finished ovulating, which is the time when I really can't, you know, focus.
How did the Danish get blended in?
Just the killing. I think she needs to come back now, you know, and just be like, because I think when she's ovulating, she'll be overly focused.
About 3 weeks.
Honestly, in 3 weeks, I'm going to find the body just from my vibes alone. So I've started to really like lean into even the idea of what we're doing now.
Yeah.
This is exactly where I want to be now, on a lovely bed with a dog and a baby and a woman talking through things in a really calm way. And actually what's happening physically now is quite real and there, where there's other times where you and I would both probably be doing a lot more of our like, wah! Clang, clang with a trolley sort of.
I mean, everything
vibes.
In life, everything that life gives you, you kind of, that is the winning way to look at it for sure.
Yeah.
And so then that there must be something to the winning way. If, I mean, the best, if I could choose for myself, I'd be happy most. My wife is coming for my baby.
This is turning
Wolfie?
Into a little bit of who's at the door?
Who's at the door? It's a little wifey. It's a bit more. It's a mama. It's a wifey. And she went to the liquor store, but she's back now to pick a baby at the door.
Oh, Sabrina, I love that song. That was amazing. I love when you drop a hot improv track.
Let's just dip right back into entertainment just before Shauna leaves. Shauna, please let us know. What is it like to be married to Sabrina Jalise?
Probably looks like a cartwheel on Entertainment Tonight.
Shauna,
what's it like to be Irish and have an Irish friend in the house? You rarely have this happen.
Shauna, answer honestly.
Very excited.
What's it like to know that Aisling's show? Sorry, go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was just saying we should hang out without you.
Shauna, I'd be up for that. But will it turn into a podcast? Will we be able to market it? Hanging out time?
No.
Shauna, I'm not that into it then. Sorry.
Shauna, what's the saddest thing that happened to you today?
This.
Oh, I was joking, Shauna.
We set her up for the Irish limerick.
It was another one of my crazy jokes.
She wants to punch it down to poetry town. Close that door, and we are.
Who were those people?
I don't know.
Did you have a clue who those people were?
No, they wander in here every now and then, and they have expectations. Ah, perfect. You know what, guys? I know what you've been waiting for. Sound effects to return.
Oh yeah, go on.
You go on first because, oh wait, we were talking about
leaning the winning into our
attitude,
cycle, winning
being
attitude.
Like positive when something negative happens. It's mm-hmm. like you break your leg and then it's like, this is an opportunity to sit for a while.
Yes.
And your period is an opportunity to sit for a while on your
yeah.
pussy.
Yeah. Just sit on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You got to think know? About
Been
things that way.
Been sitting on my ass for so long. Roll mm-hmm. forward, ladies. Sit on
Ooh,
the front
that's
instead.
That's the real deep shit. Put that little earbud in your ear. And
oh, this is how I'm going to hear things.
This is how you're going to hear things. Okay. This is how you're going to hear things.
Sabrina, this is how I'm going to hear things. Oh, there we go.
Lessons. There we go. That's the lessons button because it was both the deep shit button and the lessons button for the idea of when something bad happens to you, you got to kick back and you got to think to yourself, this sucks.
But could I learn something from this? What have I learned today?
Well... Here we are. I finished watching This Way Up and I love it. And I think you're so smart and I'll make eye contact with you soon. But I just think I feel so lucky in my life to be like, just like friends with people that are really making cool shit.
I might cry, Sabrina. The day, just for anyone who's listening, the old period's here, but I did spend the day a little bit unwell and I could just cry from the vibes in your house, the great energy. Do you know what's interesting? I love my show. I hope people who are listening go and watch it.
Yeah.
It's available
on Hulu.
All available on Hulu. But you know, the one thing I've learned this year, and maybe you're the same, neither of us have had what you might call a career bad year. But I really, the bits of it
no, we've
I remember.
Had great years.
Great years. And yeah. I'm thoroughly grateful. And at times I got a bit like grumpy about, you know, oh, it's early, I have to go to work and all this kind of stuff. And I had to have a...
You had to work early?
I know, right? Because I was like in every scene and stuff. It was awful.
What a fucking shitty thing.
But I had to really
now
lean into my,
daily reminder that
like,
I'm
a reality check
a
little bit.
I stopped the sound effect immediately because you're getting to a real point. The reality check. You said, I have to remind myself.
Yeah, I just had to remind myself, oh my God, I'm getting to work. And but what I've realized at the end of a long year of nonstop work was the bits where I wasn't working or something kind and nice and a real intimate connection happened mm-hmm. were my favorite moments of the year. And they were never actually the work. And I think, you know, we work in an industry and both of us have been chasing and driving towards goals, sort of yeah. ethereal goals. We get into cars and Uber to the middle of nowhere to do a gig for 5 minutes that could go well or could go not. And you sort of put your work aside. Who's at the door?
Shauna?
Who's at the door? Can
we're
you imagine
kind
if it
of
was...
getting to a real place right now and I'm not...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug and I love drinking my wine.
Pasta? It could be with some spinach and cheese. It could be
oh, do you know what? I could maybe actually eat some of that because I haven't really eaten today, but something gentle. Yeah, maybe actually. Do you know what? That was a great interruption
yeah,
as interruptions go.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good girl, babe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love you. I do love you, but I don't
I'm coming
want any
to you
entertainment
too.
Tonight has me on a strict diet. Crackers only till 11 p.m.
Oh, Entertainment Tonight.
I don't know why crackers only, but
yeah, I know. God, they really
it's just bread and crackers till 11 p.m.
You were using Sabrina as our test case for diets.
Okay, but the times that you were just
real
having
intimate.
Sharon.
Oh, I was just saying more, not even just with Sharon when we were making the show, but all of our.
I said sharing.
Oh, sharing. I thought you said Sharon. I was like, yeah, Sharon's in the show. Sharon Horgan. She's in the show. I was like, yeah, but that's a segue.
My takeaway from what you just said is like, so when you were with Sharon, you were okay.
But you know, at times it was true because we are sort of like real sisters. And the moments on set where you had a connection with someone, I suppose what I realized was, and maybe this is a classic in your 30s versus in your 20s thing. In your 20s, you're so thirsty for work and for opportunity, and everything you do kind of lays the groundwork. You know, you grit and you graft, especially in comedy and stand-ups. We're always sort of like flying around the place.
Well, you're doing like so much on spec.
So much on spec and hopes and dreams and for free and for nothing. And
spec is short for speculation.
Oh my God, I thought it was speculum. That makes a lot more sense now.
Did you
Sabrina
really?
No, speculum? I didn't. It was one of my little
Ashling, you know I'm talking to just a regular person listening on the radio and
I like a laugh, Sabrina. Yeah. I'm not gonna deny that. I'm gonna lean into it. Sometimes I'm a bit of a trickster and I am prone to a joke.
I'm a
like
trickster
that.
Too. We're trickster versus
trickster. Game recognized game. I knew the first time I met you that you were a little trickster, Sabrina.
I rigged a paint can up above the banister with a rope and I had it swinging for our head.
Do you know I actually did that? One time myself and my flatmate back in London and we were in our 20s. So real thirsty, real tricky.
Thirsty 20s.
And we thought it'd be really funny to set up kind of like a Home Alone scenario in the house or when our third flatmate.
I mean, it was such an inspiring.
Oh my God, of course. But we were like, you know, 24 and we tied a string to a paint can and then tied the paint can to the door. And we thought when Maeve, our flatmate, comes back in, it'll swing, but it won't actually hit her. Like it was a gentle gag.
It sounds,
you know,
like
she had a long day and was tired and was like training to be a lawyer. So we were like, we won't actually try and, you know, cover her in real paint because that's bullying by all accounts. But we were so excited by her. We were just so, we found it so hilarious.
How old were you?
Like 24, 25. We were finding
it
ourselves
like
hilarious.
Like more of a 14-year-old.
It absolutely
like
was.
Like your friends off to be a lawyer and you guys are like,
oh yeah. And we were two out of work actors
saran
as well.
Wrap on the toilet. She'll be everywhere.
And then it'll ruin her trousers. And she's already had a long day. And so we tied this thing and to the door and they were like, oh my God, oh my God. We were just finding ourselves absolutely hilarious. And then like a half an hour passed and then it soon became obvious that Maeve probably wasn't coming home anytime soon.
Yeah.
And we sort of just went to bed. And then in the middle of the night, we heard like a, Jesus Christ, what's that? This poor Northern Irish girl. And she came in the door and thought like a robber and we'd forgotten about the trick and we ran down and was such an anticlimax. And also she was just sort of put out. So it was a really
bad trick.
Yeah, she
was just like, it's late. Why?
Yeah, she's like, why have you tied
a
string? I don't understand. I'm just really, guys, can we all just go to bed? And we were like, yeah, okay, bye. But it was such a, we've been going around the house going, oh my God, when she opens that door.
She's not going to love when she touches the door handle and it's all Vaseline.
She's going to laugh. We're going to laugh. It's going to be something we talk about for years. No,
I'd like to, what I'd like to deduce from this memory is actually that sometimes the anticipation, oftentimes, the anticipation is
the destination.
Yeah, girl,
yes,
it's the journey.
Please.
Anticipation, that's the destination. And don't you also notice when you go on a trip that when you come back, it's always the nightmares that you are recounting to your friends that you're remembering. And that is always the kind of the case.
Yes, and this brings me to a realization of why I don't like surprises.
Ooh.
Because I feel like if you surprise someone with something, you don't let them have all the anticipation of it, which is like most
but
of the
like
great
But it's like it
becomes
kind of like orgasmic. It's like all of this at once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All this at once.
But like
oh, I
a
only
lot
get
of people,
10
I mean,
minutes of
I
it.
I kind of like preparing too and like savoring the kind of, but and my mom hates surprises, but I've surprised her with Wolfie on our doorstep and she's loved it. But you know, like if
but then she gets
get,
Wolfie as an experience.
If there's like an amount of time, if it's like a 24-hour, 48-hour like quick visit type thing, but then if it's longer, my mom, I know my mom and she's gonna love organizing it.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Then it's a cheeky little, then it maybe it's less of a surprise and more of a like, a nice treat, like an extra, like, oh, I didn't expect to get free hand cream with the sandwich I bought. That's a nice little extra.
Aisling, that's mayonnaise. Welcome to America.
Gosh, oh my God, no wonder my hands smell like Irish egg. Guys.
Oh my God.
No,
you know the little mustard as eyeshadow?
You know the little sachets they give you with sandwiches of hand
Honey,
cream?
You've got ketchup on your lips.
Oh no. No wonder I love my lips.
I just remembered my dad sent, we've got this group thread.
Mustard for eyeshadow. I thought it gave me that dewy eye look.
Honey, there are flies all over your face.
Oh, that's why. I thought it was because I was so tasty.
Well, you are
like
tasty,
a snack
honey.
At a barbecue.
My dad just realized there's voice notes.
Bina. Hi. Hi, Bina.
He sent this Hello. To a thread that has like 10 people on it. We're all going to vacation in Mexico. All of our family, Shauna's family, my family,
Whoa.
My brother, and Ricky's. Our donor's family.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And him too.
And him too, yeah.
Oh, God. That's gorgeous.
So there's a group thread, and my dad sent that.
Bina. Hi.
Does he think Hi, something's Bina. Going to come back?
Hello.
Oh, God.
I played it on the last podcast. I do believe I looped it several times. But
you
yeah.
need to put like some kind of dubstep remix.
This is how
that.
I'm telling people I've lost weight. Bina,
oh,
it's extremely cold. We are walking outside and it's just freezing. So we'll give you my size next spring. Okay.
These are all in answer to Shauna being like, what t-shirt size are you?
Do you know what? It's also just a sign that not every guy should have a podcast.
Bina.
Hello?
Hello.
It's freezing.
Okay, so we have learned the lessons that you've shared are insurmountable and huge already.
Well, if I may come back, yeah. Circle back, as they say in America.
Bring those ketchup lips back here, girl.
Yeah, if I could circle back my mayonnaise hands to grasp upon an earlier idea, it's that yeah. over the year of grafting so hard to get to a place, and suddenly I realized I was there. Like I was there on set making my own show, and my sister designed the costumes. Sharon, who's like my sister.
Sharon Morgan, your friend, your co-star.
But you know, she was being my sister and we were just doing this thing, and I just come off making Living With Yourself, the Netflix show with Paul Rudd. And
oh my God.
That was
truly.
Such a big deal for me. You know,
when did
you
shoot
in America.
That?
Shot it last year in New York, so September to January, then flew back and did my show straight away.
And you played Paul Rudd's wife. I mean, what a fucking year.
Yeah.
Year.
So that was like such a big old, and I was just sort of on set going, oh God, this is it. But without the moments of connection or intimacy, I realized, I know that this is so wanky, of course, but I genuinely realized it all means nothing if you get to the top of the mountain and have no one to look at it with. And I remember one day I was in LA not so very long ago, and I was having a bit of a bad day at work for a few creative reasons, uh-huh. Grant, and Sabrina Jalees invited me over to her house. And you had made us, Augie and Jeffrey, and who I'd never met before and are just gorgeous men, eggs, and Wolfie was running around with your dog. And I thought, this is one of the main things I will remember from this year.
Oh,
I don't totally remember some of the days of filming my show, and I don't totally remember every day in New York. There were nice days in New York when you're doing that. But I genuinely, mm-hmm. I was like, those moments of connection and intimacy are real. Because everything else can become a little bit surreal, especially in the worlds we do. You're pretending to yeah. be other people, and people send you messages saying they hate you and they love you, and neither yeah. of them are true.
Yeah. All the loves are true.
Of course, all the loves.
And they're correct.
And all of the likes about my outfits. But
the likes are true, the faves are true, the RTs are true.
Yeah, but the trolls are not.
The quote RTs where they don't like you are not true. Yeah, that it's about the people around you, and it's about the world that you've built outside of
yes.
the job that you do, which sometimes seems like it can beat everything else.
Yeah, and I think we definitely, we work in a world, but then I think with the way social media is and everything, we can all put such emphasis on what you do for a living, mm-hmm. rather than who you are. And I've met, and I'm sure you have as well, like you were just doing Entertainment Tonight today.
That's
and that
right.
is something that we would have gazed up as immigrants, as like,
oh my
whoa,
God, yeah.
the big American TV show thing, yeah. wow. And then suddenly you're there. And unless there's someone nice or kind around you, or you're being creative in some real way, you're like, none of this means anything.
Yeah. And also,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, it just seems like it does seem so like a big magazine show that's been around since the eight, like I think 1981 or 80.
Yeah.
And it is like epic. But then also the other feeling that I had was like, just that who you are is the thing that
people
carries over, and it makes every set kind of the same. As long as the set has a good vibe and you have a good vibe, then you're just kind of like bringing yourself to another show.
Yes, exactly.
And that there are people around you, I mean, not specifically on that set, but like, obviously, you know, you work in this business, you're like, wow, you have it all, but like, why are you sad?
Yeah.
And it's because there's just sad people in general. But I do, there's sad people in general. I am more surprised at how good people are.
Yes, yes, me too. But also, when people say, why are you sad? You have everything. And you're like, well, if you don't have intimacy, if you don't have a connection with people around you, then you don't have everything. If you don't have your sanity, if you don't have sort of a love that means something, then you don't have everything. And I think we've kind of made not the wrong choice of what everything is supposed to look like what is everything. I read this thing that apparently there's like a magic number where people are roughly happy with their lives in terms of making money. And after
what
that,
number is it?
It's around £80,000.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is like a security for a house. And a house and your kids to be okay for the
future.
The
luxury of like, you can go out of going for a meal.
Yeah, exactly.
And get a babysitter.
Yeah, but if
buy a yacht.
But you still have to work and you need to move forward. And you need to keep working hard to keep that. Mm-hmm. The idea that suddenly being given everything and everything being money or opportunity, that does not a mentally healthy or happy person make.
No, and also I think in the same way LA can be depressing for someone who's more depressing for someone who's depressed. It's that like the sun is shining.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody's hot. You know, it's like this juxtaposition of how you feel on the inside. It's like kind of menacing to think that you can. And the idea that like the sun is shining means that you should be outside all the time, which doesn't actually feel good.
Not at all.
Anybody's.
And that's, I think that's, the big thing I've learned, like once you're in the room that you've spent your whole life imagining, hoping, dreaming, grafting, working towards getting, and you're not just in the room, you feel welcome and part of the room. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like you belong
there.
You're
like a contender.
Yeah, exactly. Suddenly you're like, oh, God, I don't know if this is...
But you strike me as someone who's like you have, I see you have like a great network of...
Yeah,
warmth around you, and so and that's what you and so it's kind of like what is reinforced is like, oh,
yes, it's been reinforced.
Thank God, I like
exactly. Thank God, with all the hard work and stuff, I've got so many friends, and we're very lucky. I think in our community as well, community is everything, really. I think
yes,
Like I live kind of between London, LA, and New York. Really, I don't really particularly live anywhere.
London, LA, New York,
but
it makes it hard to get. Sort of
a run at things,
a family vibe happening.
It definitely does. But you know what? I have found families in each place with different energies. And even like this Christmas, I'm in LA for Christmas and I'm with like my Irish crew here. But I know there's like loads of people around and about. I won't be lonely. And people I've known,
do you want to stay here?
And old. I won't be able to stay here
because
I'm staying at my other friend's house.
Okay.
But like, I'd come for a holiday here. I mean, this is like a holiday home. And then last Christmas,
I gave you my farts.
And the very next, no, Sabrina,
I gave you my farts.
And the very next second, I gave them away this year to save me from tears. Could you give your farts to someone else?
Open your mouth. Here they come. They're coming soon. You know they're coming very soon.
Oh no.
That's how my bum bum sounds.
Oh no, it's the wrong one, Sabrina. Oh, that makes me really sick.
Go on.
I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy that at all, Sabrina. Last Christmas, after you gave me your farts, I was in.
Where were you?
Also in. Well, it was in New York because I was writing my show, and
you wrote it in New York.
Yeah, I wrote it in New York while I was doing Living with Yourself. So I would write it on set and in the evenings. And
what a fucking star!
Well, not really a star. More.
That's incredible.
But it was very difficult, I have to say. And one of the things, I got very sad last Christmas because I realized a lot of the people I was connected to in New York, it wasn't like I was missing family, but mm-hmm. I was missing people you could sort of feel ugly and cry with while yeah. I was sort of in New York. I felt like a little bit like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone when he's just like, I had the hotel and everything, but where's my mom? And then on Christmas Day, this Irish group kind of got together and we had like an Irish day of like a lot of people who also couldn't get home to their families, just like eating with each other and clubbing in with each other. And it was just a really special moment where I'm like, this doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix the loss that you feel when you don't have your gang around you, but it's a nice thing. And it's it. I think, you know, we've started to lose a little bit of faith in humanity. The recent UK elections, you know, what's going on here.
Can you explain the UK, what happened with the UK elections?
In a broad way.
Is it the same thing that's happening here?
Yes,
where it's like the
massively
darkness
so. Yeah. And a real leaning towards
fear-based
right wing. And people also, some people who've been in government in the UK for, I think it's like 8 years now, and austerity has crippled the country. The amount of food banks in the country are something like what's five dupled, whatever you want to say about that. So many people are really on the breadline in the UK at the moment. The thing is that people will go for what they know generally, and people are also really tired. When Brexit came in, it was such a shock, and there's been a real divisiveness in the country, but it's been unsolvable, and there's been three different elections and three new prime ministers in 4 years, and so right throughout basically the Trump era, and it hasn't been fixed, and people are jaded and sick of fighting and Brexit talks, and they're tired, and I think this election reflected like, oh, just let them get on with it. But I think people really win when you become apathetic, when you've worn people down that they can't care anymore. But the way I think it's almost like in a family where, oh yeah, I know there was a big divorce and one person was clearly to blame, but now how do we move on from this? So the election results are what they are, and it's a tired, sad time for the country, and also for big issues like climate change, to have people in the government in the UK and in America who don't really believe in doing anything about it and believe
it's
in
so fucked up.
Yeah, they believe in like an insular sort of idea for their countries at a time when we really need people who'll all work together. But I think that means that just as people we have to work harder within our little worlds and nests, and so yeah,
there's something so comforting about your sensibility, which is like real and like, you know, bleeding in your thanks pants, but also like positive, which I relate to.
I think
it's like a nice,
you have
it's
it
not
in
bullshit-y,
bounds,
you know? It's not
though. You have it in only because I've realized I have been the opposite. My 20s, I was very self-centered. I definitely lean into negativity. And I've found a real, I had to be really responsible for my energy, which I only really realized this year, that when you've got a big energy, that can like light people up, but it can also tear people down if you're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And this year has been a lot of like life lessons, learning stuff
like
that.
Have you been doing that in therapy?
Yeah, in therapy, but also like lots of alternative therapy. I try to find it wherever I can, listening to podcasts. I loved listening to your one with your friend who went and did the ayahuasca trip.
Oh, Jordan.
Yeah. Jordan. You know, and so I think you can find little books here and there. There's no one thing that's going to fix anything. A tablet is not going to fix you.
Yeah. Rhea Butcher, my last guest, was doing somatic therapy.
What's
and
that?
Kind of somatic therapy is...
love Rhea.
It's like breathing and movement, and it's not like a body massage, but it's sort of like they had realized that they were holding a lot of tension in their shoulders, because when they developed breasts, they were like not comfortable.
Wow. Yeah.
And they were like covering up.
Yeah.
And
see, that can be part of a bigger, you know, thing of like, that's just like a little clue.
Oh my god,
go,
my
okay,
foot
I'm gonna
is
go and find
like a crazy.
Oh my god, Sabrina. Oh my god. Breathe into it, breathe into it, breathe into it. So use it. Oh, I'm gonna have to have a look. Oh my god, because it's a body's way of saying, get up, girl.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Are you gonna lay an egg? I throw some crumbs on the ground.
God,
are you gonna eat it?
Into my undies from my pussy.
Oh my God, can I tell you a story about eggs? Can I tell you a crazy story about eggs?
Yeah, please do.
So this is like another thing this year that I did as part of my Eat, Pray, Love tour.
So you basically like last year worked your ass off, and then this year you're like, okay, part of the
well, this year I worked really hard as well. Last year was setting the stone for a big long year of probably overwork, but where I had to sort of catch life when I got it.
Because that's what I mean by last year you worked your ass off. I mean, the key is like the ass off part. Like it seems like so admirable to be writing your script after you shoot the other show, but like living with yourself, but like that seems like too much.
Yeah, and it, like and it was like by
like
the
that
by
it was
the
overwhelmingly too
yeah
much.
It was overwhelming too much, and I was like so ratty and skinny looking by the end of filming. And
I
also
know, I saw you and I was just so I'm kidding.
I was like, if you say I was too skinny, I'm gonna be like, thank you.
I saw you look just like ratting a model. Around looking for pieces of cheese. And I said, Aisling, you're a star, honey.
Did you hate when I bit away at all the bits of like underneath your house? Did you hate that?
So weird, because it seem rotted enough to be bitten, but your sharp ass rat teeth.
My rat teeth work.
And it's like, don't you have enough to do your planking on the typewriter?
Did you hate when I was down underneath the trains in the subway but would never get hurt? Did you hate that?
I thought that was kind of cool, actually. Like, I thought that I was like, oh man, maybe this is good for her. Like, that's
you
like,
be you, girl. You be you. You're on your journey.
That's like really brave.
Is Aisling actually a rat? What other conversations do the girls talk about in bed? Does Sabrina's wife actually bring Aisling a pasta dish? And what will they say next? Here's a preview of something they say.
Like I was saying, because it's all looping back to the same message. If you think I'm rambling, it is actually coming back around as a point.
Nobody thinks you're rambling. If they do, get out.
Get out of this podcast.
You hear me? We're back on Tuesday. Happy New Year.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.